service when we meditate on Christ's passion and death on the cross and look forward to the joy of Easter. One note on the opening hymn before we get started. I had the verse numbers from the LSB hymnal in my head, so I didn't realize how long this hymn was in TLH. So we will not be singing all the verses. So we'll be singing verses 1 through 4 and 9 and 10. So one more time, we'll be singing verses 1 through 4 and 9 and 10 in O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. Okay. Dear friends, we have come together at this solemn moment in the life of the church to remember the bitter sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts are heavy with sorrow and contrition as we dwell on our sins.
Thank you.
He was despised and rejected by all, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we knew him not. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned each of us to our own ways, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering.
The first reading for Good Friday comes from Luke chapter 22. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and feet.
I can count all my bones. People share in the blood of me.
They divide my garments among them.
And cast lots for my clothing.
And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor chasten me in your displeasure. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who shall give you thanks?
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier as his tunic, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto you. My days are like a shadow that wanes, and I am withered like the grass.
But you, O Lord, shall endure.
Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my coming?
O my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer.
By night, but I find no rest.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth.
Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless.
I looked for sympathy, but there was none.
They put gall in my food.
You gave me vinegar for my thirst.
When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished.
O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, neither chasten me in your displeasure. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all day long.
I am feeble and sore in body. I have cried out by reason of the disquietness of my heart.
My heart pants. My strength fails me. The light of my eyes is gone from me.
Thank you.
Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last.
Out of depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, and let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, you shall stand, but there is forgiveness with you, that you might be here.
Into your hands I commit my spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you do not desire the death of sinners, but rather you desire that we should turn from our wicked ways and live. We plead with you to forgive us from those punishments which we by our sins have deserved, and grant to us grace ever hereafter to serve you in holiness and pureness of living. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We call today Good Friday, but why? On this day we commemorate, and dare I even say, celebrate, the brutal execution of an innocent man. On this day, Jesus was taken to a kangaroo court, turned over to Pilate on trumped-up charges, and crucified at the behest of the mob. Indeed, on this day, the most heinous sin in the history of the world was committed. Not just homicide, but deicide, the murder of God, and we are all collectively the killers, for it was for our sins that he died. How then do we call it Good Friday? Not because of what was done by us, but because of what was done by Jesus. It was our sin and his righteousness which becomes our righteousness. By his obedient submission to persecution, to judgment, and to death, our salvation was accomplished. All which had been prophesied about him had come to pass according to God's divine will. At the beginning of his ministry, he set out to fulfill all righteousness. And on this day, it was done. It was finished. God makes the crooked straight, and he has a habit of turning even our rebellion to his purposes. Not, of course, that excuses our rebellion, but in it, God's power is displayed. As Joseph once said to his brothers, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." And so it is with the crucifixion. Pilate was evil. He was a coward, which is evil. He knowingly executed a guiltless man at the behest of a mob in order to appease him. The high priests and the Pharisees were evil. They sought Jesus' death in order to preserve their own power and their own influence. Judas was evil. He betrayed his teacher for a prophet. And the crowds were evil. They bayed for the blood of Jesus at the drop of a hat. The devil, the world, and our sinful nature meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Not that the sin was good, it was not, but in this God is glorified. And in the cross of Jesus, God is glorified beyond all measure. It shows that he is sovereign in such a way that even rebellion must unwittingly serve his purpose. Even sin is turned towards his ends. Even the devil, with all his spite and all his might, remains God's devil, ultimately powerless in the hands of our Lord. And the cross shows God's glory. It shows God's glory because his glory is in mercy. It was for this purpose, for a death like this, that Christ came into the world. It is in his death that he is glorified, because his glory is in the salvation of sinners. His glory is in substitution. It is the fulfillment of all righteousness for us. There at Golgotha, the righteous one hung between two criminals, two men guilty of theft and murder and brigandry, deserving of their fate. He was counted among them, deemed a criminal like them. He hangs in the place of sinners. And yet his blood, which dripped from his head and from his back and from his hands and from his feet and from his side, did not cry out for vengeance against those who did this to him. No, it cries out for mercy. It cries out for forgiveness. It brings the same cry before the Father that his voice does. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His blood offers the payment that makes the cry, Father, forgive them, efficacious. As he hung, the crowds mocked him. So too the Pharisees and the rulers of the Jews. Even that unworthy brigand mocks him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. He bears the mockery and the shame, yes. But here also we see the temptation of the devil as well. If you are the Christ, if you are the King of the Jews, if you are the Son of God, how is it that you are enduring such pain and such shame? Each taunt mirrors the devil's temptation in the wilderness. Each is a call to doubt the word and promise of the Father. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Each is a call to sin. Each is a call to fear the cross more than God, to love life more than his holy will, and to trust not in God and what God has said, but in what you yourself feel. and Christ overcomes that temptation when we could not. Even here in temptation, even in this agony, Christ remains a preacher of the gospel, steadfast in faith. He proclaims to that thief who believes the fruits and benefits of that very tree upon which he hangs, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." As soldiers cast lots for his cloak, he gives his mother up to the care of his disciple John. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus does not simply do this to care for his mother, according to the flesh, but because the time of fulfillment has come. God says in the beginning, "A man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And so as Christ pours out his life, as he pours out his blood by which he will purchase his bride, he must leave his mother so that he can cleave to his bride, the church, who even now he begins to cleanse. All of this while he feels the full weight and shame of the wrath of God. The Father's wrath against the sins of the whole world are poured out upon him. The cross, the physical pain, that agony is the smallest portion of his passion. It is the separation from the Father's love and the experience of his anger, which he drinks to the last drop and suffers most. He experiences hell and all its torments in our place and thus cries, "Eli, Eli, sabachthani." That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when he comes to the end, he lets out a pitiable cry, "I thirst." In Christ's cry, "I thirst," the evangelist John testifies that Jesus spoke these words to fulfill the scriptures. What does this cry mean? Yes, it is a cry of a man bleeding to death, but it is more. Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. For Christ himself testifies, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He came to fulfill the Father's gracious plan of salvation for the world. Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion, "Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Christ is obedient to the will of his Father until the very moment of his death. When all things are finished, Christ cries, "I thirst," because out of his love for you, he will not let a drop of the cup of wrath remain. Jesus is forsaken by God so that you never have to be. Jesus drinks the cup of God's wrath that you deserved as a punishment for your sins because you could not. He drinks it to the dregs so that you might drink the cup of the New Testament in his blood that is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. He drinks the cup of your sin so that you who hunger and thirst for righteousness might be satisfied. Christ then proclaims, "It is finished. His labor is done. Salvation is won. And it is time for him to rest in the tomb until the day of the glorious resurrection." His last word is that word of faith and trust, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And here we end tonight until Easter morning. Amen. We pray the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father.